given to you. Here's our pastor.
For your anointing that destroys all yokes and takes away our burdens, we thank you, Lord. For you are great and greatly to be praised. And we worship you, God. We adore you. We thank you for your holy presence. You're worthy, oh God. You're worthy. You're worthy of whatever we give. You're worthy, Lord God, of whatever we have. You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. That's why we lift our voices and tell you thank you. We love you. Thank you, Lord, and we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just a few people. Just worship him right now where you are. Just worship him. Worship him. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for waking us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving us our right mind and being able to use our faculties and being able to just lift you up this morning is a privilege and an honor. We thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the new mercies that you gave us this morning when we woke up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father. You're worthy, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name, Lord. Yes, Lord. And we say yes to your way and your will, Lord. Just have your way in this place today. Today, Lord God. Have your way today, Lord. Have your way, Lord. We thank you, God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for healing and your peace. And thank you, Lord, for your joy that you give us, that our joy might be full. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for pruning us that we might bear much fruit. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord. We lift you. We love you. We praise you, God. You're an awesome God. There's nobody like you. There's none like you in heaven or earth. Nobody like you. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Want to use for a thought this morning. The weapons and the warfare. Losing. Because sometimes it don't work out in our favor. Sometimes it doesn't work out in our favor. And so since it doesn't work out in our favor, we sometimes get discouraged and we want to go and get off by ourselves. But that's not what God wants us to do, because there's safety in the multitude of numbers. Amen. So that's why we come to church. That's why we encourage each other's faith. That's why we try to build up on one another. Amen. And so he says this warfare are not what? Carnal. They're not animalistic. They're not something that you can dream up in your mind. We need to get weapons from God, not something that I can build, not something because I'm real smart that I can do. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being real smart, but what we got to understand, I'm smart enough to know that God will give me exactly what I need in order to overcome the enemy. Amen here. And so he says they're not carnal, but he said they're mighty through God, meaning that they are powerful through God. If I can get in God and I just stay right there, I can just be in Christ. If I can be in Christ, then these things that I might deal with, they won't be able to overtake me because the power of Christ, because the Bible says that he will be a fortress. His name is a fortress. He is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it, and they are what? Say, we got to understand that whenever we are in him, that the Bible says it, and also the older people would say, Jesus be a what? Fence all around me. And so he'll protect me whenever I have trouble. Whenever I'm in conflict, he will protect me. Amen? He said, they're mighty through God for the what? Pulling down. And I like this word when it says pulling down. It means for the demolition. I know we thought that this meant that it'll just pull down, you know, like pulling down a curtain, because I see people all the time when they start talking about pulling down, they start doing this. That's not what that means. It means a demolition. And what a demolition is whenever you blow up a building, whenever you destroy it with a wrecking ball, you know. In other words, I got a tool that's so powerful that it'll blow up whatever the plan the enemy has in store for me. It'll blow his plan up. Whatever he's tried to fence me in with, the trouble that he's tried to put in my way, it will blow it up. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the dunamis, the dynamite power of God. Amen. Anybody understood that you got power? You got power to blow some things up. But not only that, you got power like wrecking ball power. You can wreck the plans of the enemy for your life. Oh, yeah, the devil thought he had me, but Jesus reached and grabbed me. Uh-huh. You know how it is. The devil meant it for bad, but I'm so glad that God turned it around for my good. He will wreck the plan of the enemy if I just use the tool that he's given me. So when I'm sick, I say, Lord, you said in your word, here's my tool, that with the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Oh, Lord, when I'm afflicted, he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them. Oh, come on and say, man, y'all get with me now. When I'm surrounded by trouble, he said that no weapon, even though they form up against you, shall prosper. I know it came against you, and you were able to see it, but because I don't walk by what I see, I walk by faith and not by sight. I saw it coming, but I wasn't moved by what I saw. I wasn't moved because I knew in whom I believe. I felt like Job in the situation and say, I know my Redeemer lives. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. When I'm tried, I'll come forth as pure gold. Do I have any witnesses today? We have to understand that the warfare, the weapons that we have, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to demolish the stronghold. The stronghold is the fence, the gate, the fortress that the enemy has built around you to box you in, to bind you, to keep you blocked up so that you cannot progress the way God wants you to progress. Do you know that it pleases the Father to give you the kingdom of God? There's nothing that God doesn't want you to have. If he has it in him, he wants you to have it in you. I wish I had somebody. And so the only thing that's stopping us is the devil and what he tells us in our mind, how he gets us all spooked up and how he makes us fear, and that's what he uses. He uses the tactic of fear and deception. He hasn't changed. From the beginning, he was a deceiver. From the beginning, he was a liar. So he tells us a lie. He gives us wrong doctrine. He deceives us to believe something is true when it's not. He makes us fear the worst when all we need to do is trust God. Come on and say amen. And so when he does that, he builds a stage in our mind and a fortress in our mind so that we might be blocked from receiving the things of God, so that we can't get out of the place where he binds us to. And I want you to know that the devil, he don't mind you coming to church. But he, if you're taking the church out to the streets is what he got a problem with. So he don't mind you coming in here and lifting your hands, but what will you do when you leave here? Will you tell somebody how good God is? Will you tell them that God will make a way? Will you tell them that God is sitting high, looking low? He's still on the throne, that God's not dead. He is yet alive. Come on and say hallelujah. He don't mind you coming to church as long as you leave here complaining. He don't mind you coming here as long as you leave here with no faith. But he don't want you to get the faith of God. He don't want you to have trust in God. He don't want you to have a healthy mind, a healthy spirit. We need to start preparing our souls, getting a healthy soul. I know we work on our bodies and we go work out, but what are you working out in your spirit? Are you working out your soul salvation? Are you giving your spirit man what he needs? Just want you to think about it. He said, for the pulling down of strongholds, so I demolish the strongholds, the things that got me bound up. I know we can sing break every chain and break every chain and break every chain. We can keep singing it over and over and over. We'll feel good after the song, but we'll walk out of here still bound. Until something changes in our thinking. Until something changes in our believing and in our heart. Look at the next verse. He says, casting down. He gets particular now. He says, in particular, imaginations. He said, I need you to demolish imaginations. I need you to demolish the things that makes you reason with the word of God. I'm reasoning to see if God's word is true or not. You need to demolish that stuff, those things that puts you in a wrong thought, a wrong conscious mind. And so we need to demolish those things whenever you are fearful because of what you see on the news. When you're fearful because of what you think might happen to you. Because you know what? When the early disciples, even when it came to death, they said, you know what? It's okay. Because I know who I believe in. They took death and they said, you know, I don't care what I have to go through. I'm going to hold to my eternal life. I'm going to hold to my faith. And we have to learn how to hold on the same way. No matter what happens. I know somebody said, nah, preacher, no way. I don't want death right now. Nobody wants it right now. But if it comes, are we ready? Lord have mercy here. He says, casting down what? Imaginations, our thought. We have to change the way we think because the battlefield is the mind. If the devil can get in your mind, if he can tell you a lie, you'll believe it. If he make you feel paranoid, oh, they talking about me. They think I'm going to fail. And if he start making you start thinking about, and I notice nowadays people focus more on what they call haters than they focus on God. I mean, if you posted on your Facebook page about God as much as you post about haters, Lord have mercy. If you thought about God as much as you think about who don't like you, who's talking about you, who can't stand, if you thought more about God, change the way you think. Get rid of that stinking thinking and get some thoughts about God. That's why he tells us in Philippians chapter 4, he tells us to think on these things. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are perfect, whatsoever things are a good report. If there be any virtue or be any praise, think on these things. That's what he tells us because we need to get our minds right. And the Bible declares that if we keep our minds stayed on him, he'll keep us in perfect peace. Come on and say amen now. So he says that we need to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So whatever it is that exalts itself in your life and it exalts itself above God, the knowledge of God, knowing God, instead of knowing God, you want to know something else. You, instead of knowing God and getting to know him in your experiences better, as Paul said, that Paul said, I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering, but also I want to know him in the resurrection of his power. And so Paul understood something, that this flesh has to die. This, I have to die to this flesh in order for me to fulfill the will of God. I know this is not a message you want to hear this morning, but we got to hear it. Amen. We got to stop walking so much in the flesh that we forget that we are a spirit being that are housed in flesh. Amen. We have to remember this because God wants us to know who we really are. Amen. If you want to know who you are, what family you come from, you ask your fathers, your forefathers. And so what we need to understand who we are, we need to ask God, our Father, who we really are. And we understand that I'm not this flesh that you see. I know we take care of this flesh. And you know what? Sometimes this flesh becomes our enemy because the flesh war against us in our spirit. The flesh wants to do. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, he talks about the carnal mind. Chapter 7 and 8, he talks about carnality. He said the carnal mind is death. But he said the spiritual mind is life and peace. So whenever we have a carnal mind, he said, it's enmity against God. In my carnal thinking, I'm a rebel against God. I can't have the peace of God because I didn't make peace with God in my mind. My mind is messed up. So if I don't have the peace of God in my mind, how can I make peace with God in my mind and in my heart? How can I have the peace of God when I go through my trial? And if we can go through a trial and have the peace of God, we can handle it so much better. But our peace is disturbed because we don't have confidence. Our peace is disturbed because we don't know who we are in him. Our peace is disturbed because we don't see the trick of the devil, which the battlefield, as I said, is in our mind. And if our mind can get right, that's why Romans chapter 12 tells us, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service, that you may know that good and that perfect and acceptable will of God. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be you what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to know that you are a transformer. You got to know that something inside of you is different than what's on the outside of you. You got to know by the transforming, by the renewing of your mind. I need to make my mind new. Now, how? I can't make my mind new by doing the same old thing every day in my flesh. I can't make my mind new by focusing on the same old stuff. I need to focus on what God has, because the new things that he has for me, for one, he woke me up this morning with new mercies. Yeah. So God makes everything new. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Behold, all things have passed away and all things have become what? New. The newness of God. That's what I'm seeking for. He says, casting down imaginations, every high thing that is all itself against the knowledge of God, bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now I need to bring into captivity. I need to bind this stuff. I have the power to bind it up. I have the power to stop it. And you know, many times we say whatever come to our mind. And do you know that everything you think is not your thought? Sometimes there's a seed planted by the devil. And you sitting there defending a thought that ain't even yours to begin with. Because I think. You know, I thought about that. I thought this person didn't like me. And you know what? They ain't got a problem with you. Because the enemy put that thought there. You think you won't make it. And God is saying, I got a plan on the other side of this for you. You get to the valley and you say, oh, I don't think I'm going to make it out this valley. But God said, you made it out the other ones. And David said, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't have to fear evil because you are what? With me. Anybody feel like that sometime? You feel like, I don't know if I'm going to make it this time. I don't know if I'm going to achieve this time. But do you know that God, he said that we can do all things through Christ that strengthen us? Amen? Amen. And so we fight in this warfare against the enemy, but sometimes we let the enemy have the upper hand. The Bible says don't let him have the upper hand on us. But sometimes we give it to him by fighting against one another. And so that's why he always puts you against a family member. That's why he always puts you against a co-worker or somebody, you know, a classmate or whatever. He puts you against them so that you can fight with each other so you don't recognize what he's doing. We fall back with Cain and Abel. We start fighting each other rather than just worshiping God. If you just keep your eye on God, you ain't got to look at what somebody else is offering and whether or not they're being accepted by God. If I can just keep my eye on the Father, if I can just follow him and lift up my eyes into the hills from whence coming my help, because my help comes from God. Oh, come on and say amen here. From the beginning of time, there's been a fight of good and evil, a fight against darkness and light. And so we have to understand that the fight hasn't ended yet. There's still a war going on. The Bible said that there was a war in heaven. And the Bible says that there was Satan, this angel took to a third of the other angels, and they rebelled against God. But the Bible says Michael and his angels, they cast them down. And later on, we found Jesus saying, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Do you know that when we pray, let thy will, kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're saying, God, just like you whipped him in heaven, we need him to whip him down here on earth. Come on and say amen in here. We need to know that whatever we're dealing with, whatever situation arises, that we have victory already. You got to think yourself into defeat. You got to think. Come on and say amen. You got to talk yourself into succumbing to whatever has come against you. You got to begin to speak negative and start thinking negative. And so we have to watch what we say. Jesus said, what goes in a man doesn't defile him, but what comes out of a man. Then we find out in Proverbs, he says to us that he said that you're snared by the words of your mouth. He said that from the increase of your lips, your belly is satisfied. The word belly meaning your mind. You're satisfied whenever you say, I knew I wasn't going to make it. Well, that's what you thought to begin with. So you didn't make it. I knew I wasn't going to get it. That's what you thought to begin with. You didn't use your faith. You didn't use what God has given you to be able to overcome in this life. The Bible tells us we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. And so if I'm more than a conqueror, what am I? I'm an overcomer. And so therefore the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our whole testimony. testimony, so I need to start talking right. And so if I need to start talking right, that means I need to start thinking right. And so I need to get my mind on Christ. I need to get my mind on the Word of God. What did God say about my situation? What did God say about my circumstance? And if God said it, then I don't need to argue and reason with it. I don't need to start thinking about, I wonder if God's going to do it. You got to know that God is faithful even when we're not faithful, that God is faithful. You need to know that God is able even though we might start to doubt him. You need to remember what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. He said to Nebuchadnezzar, you might throw us in here and that's all right, but the God that we serve, he's able to do it. And whether he do it or not, I don't know, but I'm trusting that he will. So whenever it was time for them to go into the fiery furnace, the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar looked and said, did not we throw in three? But why is it that I see four, and the fourth is as the Son of God? And you know what? Nebuchadnezzar recognized that it was something abnormal about the one that was already in the fire. And do you know that Jesus didn't go in the fire, or God didn't go in the fire when they got in there? He was already there. He said, look, I'm shielding the heat. I'm not going to let you burn. Just come on in the fire. I'm not going to let the fire touch you. And when they came out, they didn't smell like smoke. When they came out, they had no singes on them from being in what they were in. And do you know that we still do that today? Some of us have been through a fire. Some of us have been through a fiery trial, but you don't look like and you don't smell like what you've been through. Do I have any witnesses in the house? Anybody say, you don't know what I've been through. You see the glory, but you don't know the story. After all I've been through, I still have joy. You don't understand how I've been through. I've been down in the dumps. I had to go through so much. I had things going against me. Every time I turn around, there was an enemy in my way. But then I got a testimony. Every time I turned around, the Lord kept making a way for me. I know you're looking at me and saying, preacher, I know I hear that all the time. But if you hear it all the time, you need to believe it all the time. You need to believe that every time the enemy comes in with something against you, the Bible said when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. Anybody know he's still lifting you up? Anybody know that you couldn't have picked yourself up, but God picked you up and God lifted you up? He wiped you off, and when people wrote you off, God wiped you off, filled you with his Spirit, and said, I can use you. Come on and say amen here. Come on and give God some praise in here, because God is a good God. And we need to know the weapons of our warfare. One of the weapons is prayer. Another weapon is praise. When we pray, Jesus said, he tells us that if we pray, we'll stay. He tells us that man ought to always pray and not faint. Jesus said that I already know what you're going to pray before you open your mouth to pray. He said the Holy Spirit make an intercession for us according to the will of God. And so if God has already got it set for me, the fight is already fixed. Why are we stressing about the fight? Why are we stressing about the war when God said, I set this thing up for you. I set it up so that you'll be a winner and never a loser. Oh, come on and say amen here. Oh, yeah, I know it looks bad sometimes. The Bible said that Jesus came to the grave of Lazarus, and he said, I know it looks bad. Matter of fact, it smelled bad, because they said, by now, Lazarus stinks. But then Jesus said, where have you laid him? Move the stone away. Come on and say hallelujah. But Jesus said a word. He said, Father, I'm glad that you already heard me. God already knew what he was going to say. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And you know what? Lazarus, I can't understand for the life of me how Lazarus just came out of there except by the power of the Holy Ghost, because they had bound him up in grave clothes. He was wound up like a mummy. And all of a sudden, Lazarus come leaping out the grave. And I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I said, Lord, I understand. No matter what they put on me, I'm still coming out. No matter what they bind me with, I'm still coming out. Anybody else like that? Come on, I'm still coming out. No matter what they do to me, I'm still coming out. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, it doesn't matter what they do to you. You can still come out of it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Let me tell you about another weapon, praise. The Bible said in Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20:20 that he said, you don't need to fight in this battle, for this battle is not yours. It belongs to God. And so the Bible early that morning and they begin to praise God. And the same enemy that came to get them begin to fight amongst each other. And all of a sudden, when they begin to fight, they killed off each other. And the Bible says by the time they got out there, they didn't have to fight in the battle because the battle was already won. I got a question for you all. Why wait till the battle is over? Shout now. You ought to shout now. I know you don't have it, but you ought to shout now. I know it's still in your way, but you ought to shout now. I know that it still looks like it's bad, but shout now. The Bible says that once they got down there, that they found so many blessings. They were in the Valley of Baraka, which means the Valley of Blessings. It took them 3 days to get the spoils. Do you know what God did? Instead of you complaining about the enemy in your turf, you need to realize that the enemy brought something. God set that enemy up. He made him bring all the goods, the stuff that you didn't have, and then he killed him right there so that you can have your stuff, the stuff you thought you had to go get. God said, I'm making the enemy bring it to you. And so when God defeats the enemy, just go pick up your stuff. When you're on the phone with your friend, say, I gotta hang up now because I'm going to pick up my stuff. I can't keep going on with you. I gotta go down and get my stuff. Oh, come on and praise the Lord in here. Do I have anybody that say, I'm gonna praise no matter what happens in my life? I'm gonna keep lifting him up. I believe that God is able, that God can and God will. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. So I got my mind on Jesus. And when I get my mind on Jesus, oh, come on and shout hallelujah. See, I told you about changing the way you think. So when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. Thank God. Anybody feel like I feel? If you feel like I feel, say hallelujah. I feel pretty good right now because we got our weapons ready. And we're in a warfare that we can't lose because I'm in Christ. The reason I know we can't lose is because Jesus already defeated our enemy when he went up on the cross of Calvary and he died on the cross. He defeated death when he went to hell. He defeated hell, but he came back to the grave and he defeated great because early, somebody say early, Sunday morning, he got up. I said he got up with all power. He said, it's given unto me. So power to overcome the enemy. He has disrobed the enemy. He has disarmed the enemy. And the enemy can't touch you. He has defanged him. Do you know that Jesus is an orthodontist? Do you know that he is a dentist too? He took the teeth out of the lion. And the lion can't bite you now. I wish I had somebody. The most he can do is gum you. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. Because he don't have any teeth now. Because Jesus took the sting out of death. He said, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, come on and say amen. He said, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Oh, come on and give God some praise. I know I'm in a battle now, but I'm not worried about the battle because I know God has given me victory. Victory is mine. Joy is mine. Salvation is mine. Liberty is mine. Come on and say yes in here. I say, won't God do it for you? I say, won't God heal your body? Won't God save your soul? Won't God pick you up and turn your life around? I say, won't God do it? Won't God give you a new mind? He said, let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. Can I get crunchy with you? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Won't God make your enemies your footstool? Come on and shout yes here. Come on and give God praise. Do anybody in the house have any moments where you stop and say, won't God do it? I had some moments the other day. I stopped in my mind when I thought about the enemy, how he had come in like a flood. I said, but won't God fix it? Won't God be a battle axe in the time of battle. Come on and shout amen in here. Won't it be a bridge over troubled waters? Come on and say yes in here. And the Bible tells us that. Oh, come on and give God some praise. When I think about all of these things, I think about how good God is. And I have to go back to what I always